Hello and welcome to another episode of Enter the Dark. I'm speaking today to Antonio Naranjo. He's originally from Cuba. He brings a whole range of flavor references and profiles that you would not otherwise get. His history and his playfulness made him just an absolute must when we ran the co-creation workshop. And he added real light, actually, and just one of the most beautifully mannered people I've ever met. And he came up with amazing ideas and a beautiful, beautiful mixer. So it's time to enter the dark, and I'll be your host. So I'm sat talking to Antonio Naranjo. Antonio is one of the most affable and lovely people I've ever met. Just a big, broad smile. Happy to see you all the time. Just one of those people that just fill you with joy from the moment you set eyes on them for the first time. And Antonio is in Barcelona, and he was one of the co-creators in the Coca-Cola Signature Mixers first round. Antonio, welcome.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you so much for your words.
It's the truth though, my friend, it's the truth. How are you?
Actually, now, of course, the situation for all people is the same. But I always trying to take in the best way. You say the best smile as possible, because it's the only thing we have to be out of this bad situation.
That's amazing. Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. And you have to look on the bright side. And you're in Barcelona because your bar is in Barcelona, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, I am in Barcelona. I live now in Barcelona for 4 years. It's going to make 4 years and a half, sorry. My first bar, I opened 3 years and a half. The name is Dr. Stravinsky. It's an artisanal cocktail bar. And now, actually, I have my second bar. I opened in December. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, Dr. Stravinsky is one of the most famous bars in Spain. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's actually Dr. Stravinsky opened like 3 years and a half and was really successful in quickly way. Yeah. Yeah. We was having really good press. We was having really good recognition international way actually in 50 best bars. Yeah. In Berlin Bar Convent. Yeah, yeah.
And you're sat on your balcony in the street now, aren't you?
Yes. Now because it's better light. Yeah.
Beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. So look, Antonio, tell me about yourself.
Actually, I was born in Cuba. I was living in Cuba until I have 20 years old. Then I decided to move out to Cuba to try different countries. And I was in Sevilla, south of Spain, where my family now is. I was studying hostelry. Then I moved to Norway to trying to continue exploring flavors. And actually now I am in Barcelona. I am this kind of person, like I don't need too much to life. I only love people enjoyed what I create. People enjoyed the crazy ideas. I like to see the eyes of people when they taste it and see like they like it. That for me is the most important. It's the 90% of the life of Antonio Naranjo is that. Then of course it's my personal way. Like I have my son, my family. I'm a really familiar guy. Yeah,
that's amazing. So look, I mean, yeah, as I said earlier, you're just a joy to be with. The co-creators that we pulled together for that workshop, by complete accident, were just the people that filled the room with the most light. And I can't thank you enough for that. But tell me about growing up in Cuba. How old were you when you left Cuba?
When I have 20 years old. 95% of family in Cuba, the poor family in Cuba. And I learned a lot how to create things to survive. That is when the creativity is going up. I live when I have 20. Actually, all my friends are still there. Yes.
Are they?
Yeah.
What do you miss most about Cuba?
I think I miss more the character of people. You know, people in Cuba, the house of people have always the door open. That is something like tell a lot about people in Cuba. It's like we don't have nothing to lose at our homes. We only have a lot of things to win if we keep our doors open, because all people can get inside and share. That is the most important word in Cuba is share. And a smile in front of problems. Yeah.
Smiling in front of problems. I love that. And look, I'm really interested and that the whole idea of this podcast is to understand what made you want to go into bartending, what made you make drinks, okay? And I always start with the same couple of questions. So what did your childhood taste like and what did it smell like?
My childhood smells sweet, sweet and sour, I think, with a small taste of bitterness.
Tell me about the bitterness. What was that?
Bitterness is always, when you see a lot of things like a child, you like to have it and you can't. Actually, when I was 13 years old, my father teach me something. He say me, do you like this? Yeah, okay, come with me, work with me and win it. That's in one point when you are a child, it's a little bit bitter, no? It's like, okay, perfect. Yeah. I need to take 3 months to have it. But yeah, but it's good. It's good, yeah. But it was okay. It was good.
So the bitterness that you refer to is the bitter edge of life, the kind of the fact that it wasn't always easy. That's the bitterness you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that is the bitter notes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And tell me about the sweetness.
A sweetness because I think it's a lot of happy moments in my life. It's a good memory. It's actually big part of my life is about sweet touch. Sourness because, in the life you need balance always. Not all is going to be sweet.
I love this. I love your level of philosophical analysis. That life is sweet, balanced with sour, but there's just this edge of bitterness as well. That's amazing. And it's a
good combination.
It's a perfect combination for a drink. But as a young man growing up in Cuba, did you have an interest in flavor? Did you play with taste? Did you make drinks? Did you make food? What did you do?
When I was in Cuba, I was studying to work in a boat, making food or making service in a boat. Of course, the work is a little bit hard to find it. You need to pay to be inside a job like a waiter because you know you are going to win a lot of money there. And always you need to pay. This is why actually I don't have the opportunity to work in the hostelry when I was in Cuba, actually. I studied for it, but I can't. I was a mechanic. I was making a lot of things, actually, but not making cocktails. For me, the perfect combination is when I cook in my home, when I was in Cuba, like sweet bananas and salty food. This is the combination of the fruit, tropical fruit with the salty food, yeah.
Aww.
But never have the opportunity to do for people, for guests, yeah.
So there's loads in here. Okay, so number one, I really want to go to Cuba. Number two, you studied for flavor. You studied for hospitality.
Yeah, I studied for hospitality when I was in Cuba. I studied the classic Cuban cocktails. I studied the service, the Cuban style service, but all for memory, you know, nothing practical. All memory. That is really bad because you need photographic memory to remember. Now I forgot maybe 70% of all because I don't practice. Of course, I know is some of those is back again because I'm in the bartending again.
Yeah.
But in that time, no, I lost it. Yeah.
So what was it you enjoyed? You know, you wanted to study hospitality.
Yeah.
What was it you wanted to do? Did you want to become super famous? Did you want to make people happy? Did you want to create memories? Was it the flavor and the taste? Was it playing with people's senses? What was it that really pushed you into that world?
I think it's a small touch of different things. It's, of course, always we like to have our moment of glorious moment. Always we like people come and say, wow, amazing job. That is something like, I think all humans like it. I know some people say, no, I don't need it. No, you always need it because it's the things to make you to continue growing. This is one of the things, but the most important is always create something new. I think for me, make cocktails is like one point of expression. It's like the guy to make paint, he bring his expression in the paint. The guy to make a sculpture, he bring his expression and his art in the sculpture. For me, a cocktail is the same. It's not only about flavors, it's about colors. For me, in my mind, the flavors are colors. And you need to combine it and have the perfect combination in the palate and in your brain when you taste it. And for me, when you say the work is done, is when all the things you say before are in the balance. It's like, because you like to have a small protagonist, because you like to grow, because you like to see the people tasting and open their eyes and say, wow. I think it's a small touch of all this you say, like, pushing me to continue in the bartending when I taste for the first time.
Oh, Antonio, you take making a drink and you're turning it into an art. You're looking deep inside someone to work out what drink they want and to craft that balanced drink for them. And that's quite an exceptional talent, my friend. This isn't how most bartenders work. You know that, don't you?
Thank you. Thank you. The thing is like, for example, that is an example. 1 week before, me and my girlfriend, we was painting. I am really bad painting. I am one of the most bad paintings in the world. I can tell. But that day, I feel it. I say, wow. When you make a cocktail, it's like a white paper and you put in colors. And when all the paper is complete in colors is when it's done, the paint. It's the same in the cocktail. When all the flavors are fixed, when you feel it all, is the complexity is done.
Yeah.
That is the same. You only need to change the glass for the paper.
How do you know when to stop? How do you know when to stop adding ingredients or garnish?
Yeah.
When is it finished?
I think I'm going to be completely real. Huh? Sometimes it's not about to thinking. It's about you start to do it, you taste, and something tells you you are missing something. Actually, sometimes I don't know what is I am missing. I only try to connect the most powerful ingredient in what is the next. When I have it, I pick it, I add it in the different measures, and then I see, okay, now I think we have this end of, I don't know, tannin, or this bitter, like licorice bitter, and then the wormwood bitter, you know, it's like a long pass. Yeah, yeah. It's, and the garnish is the same. Sometimes you have an amazing glass, but this amazing glass don't need nothing else. Or sometimes you have a plain glass, and you need only to bring some touch of colors in different parts, and then it's done. So it's a little bit weird to explain how to do it, because sometimes it's something automatic.
It's not weird. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And do you think your Cuban childhood has added to the way that you work? Is that your secret? Is that your secret weapon? Your superpower?
I'm not sure. I know that's helped me a lot to bring up the lights of, you know, creativity. And then I was working in keeping on this light, always making histories, because I love to count histories or make fun things. Then I find cocktails, and then I find like this is a good canal to canalize all this creativity or point of views. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Of course, Cuban was, you know, the turn on.
Yeah,
I think, yeah.
And if we're looking at bartending and we're trying to look at whether it's an art or a science, what percentage is art and what percentage is science?
Wow, that depends of the bar you have. That's really important. The bar is going to bring you the tempos of how much science you need to use, how much art you need to use. If you have fun in a bar, like your clients, for example, are around 20 and 30, for example, you need is going to be more art. Because in the most portent, they don't take care too much about science. They only like to go there, something beautiful, something they taste, of course, should be good, but doesn't need to be super science, only need to be artistic. For example, Stravinsky is more about people about 20, 30, 40, 50, actually 60. But they come because they know they don't going to find any glass with the way of a bird or a fish. No, all is going to be more abstract, but actually what is inside is the most important. And they come to drink. The cocktails, of course, look good, but they come more for the flavors, more for the science inside, no? For the distillation, for the fermentation. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. And you talked about fermentation there and those kind of fermented notes, those kind of almost sourdough notes.
Yep.
Along with acidity, they're becoming increasingly desirable within the cocktail world. Because obviously that's quite cutting edge stuff. How do you take your art to people that don't necessarily understand your art? How do you help them understand it?
I use small tricks. For example, I'm going to put you one example, really simple. You know kombucha?
Yeah.
Okay. In Spain, nobody knows it. But of course, they know about passion fruit and mango.
Yeah.
I create a kombucha with passion fruit and mango. And when they come to the bar, they read kombucha. Then they see passion fruit and mango. And they say, okay, I like this because I like passion fruit and mango.
Yeah.
And when I bring to the table, I say, okay, guys, that is the cocktail with the kombucha. And then I have the opportunity to explain it. And then I start to introduce these people to the fermented world.
Yeah.
That was a hard work in the beginning because a lot of people come for a gin and tonic. And we don't have tonic, for example. And they were like, what? And they leave. But these people then come when we was inside 50 best, for example, and they say, okay, now I'm going to give you a second opportunity. And they love it. And that was a job like we say, okay, the work is done. Now they understand, like, you can drink, for example, a gin and tonic in a lot of bars in the world. Actually, you can drink a gin and tonic in the bar in the corner.
Yeah.
But we like something special we like to bring. And this is why actually, yeah.
What I love about that, I love this, something familiar, something new. So you're kind of like packaging it up with something that they understand. That's really powerful. You know, the thing is, Antonio, I've been making kombucha for nearly 22 years now.
Oh, cool. This is why you look like so good, man.
Yeah, that's it. It takes years off me. That's not true. It's amazing. But look, tell me about your signature mixer. How did you create that flavor? What were you thinking about when you built that drink?
Actually, work with Coca-Cola is really interesting because you're going to touch the history for one time, or maybe two times, no? But work for Coca-Cola is something special. You have a lot of pressure when you are working on it because you know the level is really high. It's one of the most biggest challenges in my life. That was one of, actually still being, because still being the mixer. First, I was preparing myself in the mental way, what Coca-Cola like in the market, what make Coca-Cola powerful all these years, and all it was about flavors. The flavors of Coca-Cola, vanillas, citruses, sweet spices. And I say, okay, I need to find something to go around all this, keeping and respecting the main of the soft drink and push these new flavors. Then I will see, okay, what can I find like vanilla flavors? And I find the dill seed. The dill seed is a kind of a vanilla, anise, cumin flavors. Like it's going to be making the complexity and actually it's going to blend really well with the woodiness. Then we have the hops. Hops is going to give us like this herbal citrusy, but in the end is going to be the complex of the bitterness, something like normal Coca-Cola don't have it. And then I was adding something new in there. And then the last two ones was the lemongrass, was more like for powerful the citrusy, but not using lime, using another different citrus in the herbs way. And tajet is a flower. I always say tajet is one of the three flowers, maybe four flowers in the world, like can combine perfectly with sweet spices and actually taste like sweet spices and actually give you this flowerness. And that was the main of the recipe. Then I taste with aged spirits and I was inspired in bourbon. Then I was using another history, was like, okay, what is inside the beer? Bourbon, if you bring out all the distillation, is the beginning of a beer. Yeah. And if I take the inspiration of bourbon and I make a Coca-Cola with hops and you combine it, something in your brain is going to tell you, okay, that is something like, I don't know what is, but it's familiar. And beer is one of the most consumed alcohol in the world. That was the two points, like bring me the inspiration to make herbal notes.
I love it. You know, I'm not allowed to have favorites, right? But it's definitely one of my top four favorites, okay?
Thank you. That was good.
It's a brilliant drink on its own, let alone as a mixer. But what I love about the way that you develop that and the way that you speak, and I watched you do this, you know, I was 2 meters from you, no further at any point. I love the way that you found citrus from a flower. I love the way that you found sweetness without using sugar. I love the way that, you know, you play with flavors in a way that not many people do. Now, thinking of where we are, moving into winter, how would you create a perfect serve, a winter drink, using your mixer as the core? What would you do to make a winter drink?
I can actually be a little bit dangerous, like not dangerous, but I go into the dangerous way, okay? I can make a mix without ice. That is the first thing. We can use the alcohol and the herbal notes, but the herbal notes cold in the fridge, okay? The alcohol, I like to use maybe Calvados.
Yeah, Calvados, yeah.
Calvados is, for me, is the best distilled, the best spirit agent to mix with herbal. It's really bad if I say, because actually Calvados is not too famous. But Calvados is, the complexity of Calvados, when you bring it with the herbal notes, is making an explosion. It's a lot of, I can't explain, it's something in your head like it starts to go around. I can take only a glass, one measure of Calvados, like 50 mLs, and then bring the herbal notes without ice, because now it's winter and you don't need too much cold drinks. Maybe put a leaf of basil float on top to only powerful all this anise.
Yes, herbs. I love that. So there's no ice. So that's going to change the carbonation. Yeah, yeah. That's going to make the carbonation a little more gentle. But it's super cold. Yeah. You mixed it with calvados, and then you've put some basil on the top in order to give you that kind of floral. There's almost a zestiness to basil.
Yes.
Would you do anything else?
I think sometimes when the products are good, the simplicity is the most the most important thing. The combination for me of calvados and herbal is going to surprise a lot of people if they do it, for sure.
I love this, Antonio. You're right. You know, a really simple margarita or a marinara pizza is perfect. Don't mess with it.
Exactly.
And I love the whole idea of creating this really sort of pared down, warming drink. That's lovely. That really is. Thank you. It's 2 or 3 years ago since we did this.
Yes.
How's your life gone since then?
Now, actually, my life, of course, changed. And now in the industry, actually, people know more about me. We were talking about top bartenders around the world. And that for me is like if the guru of come to you and say, well done. Actually, that is the most important because it's my profession and it's my passion. For me, that was the most important. Of course, then we was traveling around the world. We was traveling more in Europe now, but I know the plan is going to be around the world. But I'm this kind of guy, like I love to visit bars, talk with bartenders, bring the product, see what they can do with this product. And for the moment, all what I taste was really good. My life changed a lot. Actually, now with the COVID, my tempo of life is a little bit more slow, but in the beginning it was crazy. I finished work at 5 and at 7, I was taking an airplane to go to Brussels to go with signature mixes with Coca-Cola. It's really, really good memories, really good experience. And actually, I think for me, it's something I told before, it's something unique in my life. It's one of the most important things happened in my profession, in my career.
That's amazing. I really love that. What are you working on now?
Now I'm working in the new menu of Dr. Stravinsky. It's going to be something, I think, completely new for something like nobody doing in the moment in the world. And it's going to be really, really fun. Of course, I'm working now. We are talking with Coca-Cola again to start to activate because, you know, we need to be a little bit soft now because the situation. And a new place. Now making deliveries. Actually, I'm making the delivery with the bicycle.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Now I'm working only in, keep the business interesting for people. When we come back, they come back again to drink. And preparing myself in mental way for what is coming, because it's going to be a lot of work, I'm sure. I can tell.
What are you most excited about right now?
I think now the most exciting thing is, I think this COVID finish. That is the most exciting plan I can find. And I start again to work behind the bar. I miss a lot to work behind the bar.
Do you?
Yeah. I always was working 5 days per week. I never stay outside of my work. Actually, I have a lot of flights and I always trying to combine it to keep working because for me, it's really important to be in the bar. People see you, talk with people. The most exciting plan now I can have in the professional way is work again behind the bar, mixing, see people, see clients.
Antonio, you know, I've seen you behind the bar. I've seen you talk to customers. I've seen you explain your drinks, and it's done with such poetry and you said it at the beginning, such art that people can't help fall in love with what you do. You've got a really amazing way, which is quite unique, my friend.
Thank you so much.
And I wish you all the success in the world. And I will one day meet you in Dr. Stravinsky when we can travel again, and I will drink Calvados with a leaf of basil and herbal notes, for certain.
That is for sure. I'm going to wait for you, huh?
Look, Antonio, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I know you're going to be involved in Signature Mixes too. And for that, I'm really appreciative. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, because actually it's really good to talk again, to leave again my remembers and talk to you. Always a pleasure to talk to you. You always bring all this smiling, like me, you say, happiness.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.